Good morning.
I was thinking of our brothers at Nyman as I was looking that Denver was -8, and thinking of my family, and then thinking of the remote areas of Denver, of which Lyman is one, thinking blanket of snow and cold winds, because there's not much to protect it out there. So yes, do keep our brothers in prayer. 2nd Sunday in Advent. God came, God has come, and God is coming, all at the same time. Isn't that wonderful? That's almost as hard to believe as Santa Claus, isn't it? At least for us. It's hard for our finite minds to conceive, and yet it is a spiritual reality. It is an Advent reality, and it shows the dynamics, the dimensions, perhaps, of what Advent truly is. I'd like to ask you, what is the difference between this particular phrase, God is nowhere, and this next particular phrase, God is now here? The difference is the God space, I call it, right? The God space. It's God breaking through into space, God intervening, God adventing, coming, arriving to a certain distinct right place at the right time. And he's an expert at that, isn't he? God can do it like no other. Why? Because he's God. Advent is about coming. Advent is about God coming. It's about God arriving. God breaking into space and time, breaking into to our dimension at just the right space and time. And the a biblical truth that we have is the entire Bible. The entire Bible is all about God coming. It's about God arriving, a God being here, God breaking through, God showing up in just then places at just in time. We humans never seem to know when. We don't know where. We don't know particularly how, even though actually it's told to us. We still get surprised, don't we? We still get surprised by his advent. The Bible's full of stories of God doing just that, adventing, coming, arriving into the world, now here at the very time that most people thought he was nowhere to be found. And it makes all the difference in the world. Let's look at some Old Testament examples. We remember God coming to Abraham, promising to make him the father of many nations. We discussed that last week at Advent 1. We remember the Red Sea and God coming to deliver Israel from slavery at just the right time, just the right place. We remember God coming up on Mount Carmel as Elijah offers his sacrifices, right? With all of the prophets of Baal there. God comes to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Where? In the fiery furnace he appears. Just the right place, just the right time. He comes to Daniel in the lion's den. And foremost, he comes to Bethlehem as the angels announce his arrival with Emmanuel, which means God's here with us. He's arrived. So, another biblical truth, God continues coming, or we can more from our perspective correctly say he has come in the New Testament times, and he continues to in our day. He continues to be now here. But why do all of us, or too many in the world, see him as nowhere? It's unfortunate. When he does, however, come again, with the is coming aspect, it'll be impossible not to notice, won't it? You'll know that he is here at that point in time, for every eye will see him, as Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 tells us. So we know that God continues to break through today. All of you have experienced that if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right? Very powerfully, he has broken through. He has advented into your life personally, not just in this space, but at a distinct time. And many of you, for many of you, it was just the right time, right? Actually, for all of us, it was just the right time because it was God ordained. So we see this Advent fact regarding God. He chooses unusual times to come, to arrive, to advent to unassuming people in unexpected places. And he does so even today. Even today. He has come. He is here. Let's take a great New Testament example. His son, Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't really fall far from the divine tree, did he? No, he didn't. Yet he left a lot of that behind so that he can come here and be an example to us of how to live a life that is pleasing to God. Not in the flesh that he was wearing, not by the flesh or his own human power, but by listening to the Holy Spirit and by allowing the Holy Spirit to control his lives. He became an example for us as how we are now supposed to live in this time in between the advents of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit indwelling within. So it's not just this point of salvation that he comes and offers us, which is important, of course, and it is a beginning, but he also is the example of then how we are supposed to live on earth from that point on through the power of the Holy Spirit, to allow God to transform us and through us to transform the world. Jesus was not born in the temple. He was born in what? Manger, stable, right? He was not born of a priest. His father was not a priest. He was a peasant. His mother was not wealthy. They lived in poverty. They did not live in Jerusalem, but they lived in where? Does anything good come out of Nazareth? No one really knew Jesus' birth. Very few cared anything about it. But through him, God was coming into the world. Through him, God was coming into the world, adventing in the world. And even the handful of people who were in on it, and I love probably Simeon the best and his declaration of that, they did not fully understand the full impact of his arrival. They did not fully understand the full impact of his coming. We can see this Advent fact at work from God's perspective, perhaps at play, as we read Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. While they were there, that is Joseph and Mary in Nazareth, in Bethlehem, I'm sorry, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, did Mary, months before this, and they say a month before this, maybe 3 weeks before this, I don't know how long it took him to travel there, did she expect that she was going to be in Bethlehem when she gave birth? Probably not. What caused them to go there, remember? Politics. Right? Politics. Did she expect that she would be giving birth not in a room in an inn, but in a stable? No. She didn't. And it says, while they were there, the time came. Now, she couldn't control the exact time, obviously, because she probably wouldn't be there if she could, right? Who was in control of that time? God was. It was his time. And he used it most powerfully, most powerfully. But not as the world sees power. It's as God declares power. So through him, God is indeed coming into the world. I want to look this morning at three brief Advent points to make. Looking at that, God came, he has come, and he is coming. Those three kind of aspects, and look at some powerful understandings that come from that aspect. The first one, Advent, this This first coming of God informs the world. It informs the world about God. It informs the world a lot about God's plan. God came. And in whichever world culture we find ourselves, the message of Advent or the message of Christmas informs us as human beings, informs our culture as a group of human beings. How? Or what does it inform us of? It informs through the message that God came to the world because he what? Loves the world. Because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? He cares about us. Not just the fact that he is there, but that he is there and he is personal. And he's loving. At Advent, we all look into God's face and we hear the angels say to us, as they said to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, don't be afraid. I'm in control. You're obviously not. I know that scares you. But don't be afraid. Let me be in control. I bring you good news of great joy. I'm informing you that God is alive. And God loves you. And if you turn your life over to him, you will live a much better, a much more enjoyable, a much more a more peaceful life. Live a life that pleases God. And then they exploded with praise as they said, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, what? Peace. And that's the only way peace will come to earth, is if we fully understand Advent. If we fully understand God loves us, he cares for us, and we turn our control over to him. As a world full of other cultures that turn their control over to him. Know what I find hardest to believe this time of year, beloved? I find it hard to believe that the message of Christmas is one of good news of great joy, which it is. I don't find that hard to believe. I find it hard to believe that the world does not want to hear that. That shows you the control issues that we have. The world doesn't want to hear that good news of great joy. I don't believe that they don't. I do believe that they want to, but they are deceived. And they're deceived by control issues. They're deceived by others. Satan and his cronies, whispering them in their ear. So that when the angels do arrive, what is the natural reaction? Fear. Why? Because you're not supposed to exist. I was told you don't exist. And all of a sudden, here you are in front of me. I actually believe they're dying to hear it. And there's no pun intended there. They're dying to hear it. And we have to get out there and just declare it. God wants us to be the ones to inform in this day and age that he has come. That Advent is real. Advent announces that God came, God has come, and he is coming all at the same time. And again, we find that concept kind of hard to believe unless we truly do build that relationship with him. And we understand more of who he is and what he's capable of. And who we are in comparison. But because Advent does tell us all of this, Advent is the biggest reason the world has for hope. It's our biggest hope. It's the world's biggest hope. The number of people whose lives have been changed since the birth of Christ is incalculable. We can't conceive of it, much like we can't conceive of the number of stars or how much money Bill Gates has. But not only have individuals been changed, as individuals are changed, what happens to their culture? And that's the way God wants to work it. As individuals are changed, cultures are changed. As cultures are changed, the world is changed. As in the prayer this morning, affect our culture here in Avalon, we affect the people of Avalon. We affect Avalon, the community for Christ. Beloved, Advent informs the world that there's meaning, that there's purpose for the world. For the God who created the world has come, because he lous, to redeem the world. Advent informs us that the world, the true king of the world, has arrived, and he has set up his everlasting kingdom. Isaiah prophesied this. Isaiah chapter 9, which we read last week. 9:6-7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So the message of Christmas informs the world that God is in control, God loves us, and he has come to redeem us. Have hope. Have hope. Deal with your control issues and allow God to reign in your life. Number two, Advent transforms the world, not just informs, but once you have heard the message and do receive it, there's a transformation. God has come. And because he has come, the world has changed. We not only have good news of great joy, beloved, our message is not merely words about hope and peace. The Advent message has come and has changed the world. It just hasn't done so completely. The Bible talks about the transformation of individuals. Yes. The Bible also talks about the transformation of the world, and that is the proper order. The Scriptures first call us to personal transformation. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that's what the good news informs us of. And as we receive it, it transforms us. We are transformed in order to not just sit there and be at peace individually. We are transformed, however, to do what? To help transform the world. We are transformed as individuals so we can help then transform our cultures and the world around us. Stories told of a man who was reading a paper. It was pretty late at night, and the kids had finally gone to bed. And all of a sudden, one of the daughters, the younger daughter, gets up. "I can't sleep, Daddy." He finally found time to sit down and read his paper. He was happy about that. So he was a little frustrated because he was just getting into a good article. He didn't want to get mad at her. So as he looked at his paper, there was this picture in there of a big world. So he devised a plan. He cut out the picture of the world and he cut it into pieces. And he told her to sit down with him and put the pieces down there and said, "Hey, why don't you put the world back together? Put the world back together here like a little puzzle." And so she thought, "Oh, okay, this is great. I get to spend time with my dad and I get to fix the world at the same time." And he thought, "That's going to take at least 15 minutes, so I've got that to finish my article." And 5 minutes later, she's done. And he can't believe it. He goes, How did you do that? I mean, the world, that's not that easy. She said, "Actually, it's quite simple. On the other side of the paper was a man. And I just put the man together, and as I put the man together, I put the world together. When you make the man right, you make the world right." And it's that concept that we have. Transformed people then transform the world, right? Fix the man, and you'll fix the world. I believe one of the detriments of transformation is that we Christians have typically seen Christianity as being about us. Yes, it is personal. Yes, it is. But it's not just personal. And I think we here in America have a harder time, perhaps, than other countries, realizing that it's not just about us. It's not just about us individually. Yes, our goal is to get saved. We want to have our sins forgiven. We want to be redeemed. We want to spend the rest of our lives with God eternally in heaven. And that's good, right? That's not bad. There's nothing bad about that. Of course we do. There's nothing wrong. We want to get to heaven. We want to receive eternal life. But unfortunately, too many of us don't see much beyond that. Because, again, of our control issue, we feel comfortable with that, and we stay right there. But Christmas is not merely about having our sins forgiven. Advent is not just about having our sins forgiven. It's about going on and being transformed as well. It's about our transformation. And I guarantee if we allow ourselves to be transformed, what's going to be the next step? We're going to allow God to work through us to transform the world. So it's not just that we're saved. We want to be the new creatures that the Bible talks about. It's about being transformed. We become new creatures, a new creation, and we're truly, truly changed. We didn't do it. Who did it? God did it. God who is here, Emmanuel, does it. And in turn, we then begin to change the world around us, whether it be our families, our friends, those we work with, our schoolmates. Actually, it's God that's doing it still. He is changing the world around us through us, is he not? If we keep that in proper alignment, it'll continue to happen to greater and greater degrees. The world culture then is not just influenced, but as changed individuals begin to live in that culture, the culture changes. The culture becomes transformed. And unfortunately, too many Christians have retreated from the world as if we're afraid of it. We withdraw from the world as if we'd be contaminated by it. And again, we're thinking too much from the flesh, aren't we? Because God's not going to allow that to happen if we truly turn our lives over to him. And if we're busy protecting ourselves from the world, we certainly can't be an influence to the world. I mean, think about it. Jesus said we're to be salt and light to the world, but what does he say about the salt if it's lost its flavor? The light that's hidden under a bushel. You can't do what salt is supposed to do if you stay in the shaker, right? And if you're never turned on, I'm sorry, you're not gonna shed light anywhere. There's nothing to fear about our situation. There's nothing to fear because Emmanuel, God is here. God is here. God is with us. He loves us. And if we allow him to love us, to truly feel that love by growing that personal relationship with him, what does love do? Perfect love casts out fear. Here's how Paul saw it. Acts chapter 17. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us, for in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. My Advent prayer that we truly believe that, we truly understand that, and that truly transforms our lives. We've seen the world as an enemy rather than as a mission field. We see Jesus' message for what it truly is. We need to see Jesus' message for what it truly is. And it's revolutionary. It is. It is revolutionary. But for us first, before we ever get out onto the mission field, Jesus' revolutionary message seeks to undermine the present world order. It seeks to replace this earthly kingdom with his own. And yes, as Christians, we live in the world, but our true loyalty is not to the world. It's not of the world, our nation or any particular culture. Our allegiance, our loyalty is to Christ and his kingdom. Unfortunately, that's not how many Christians see their lives. In spite of the fact that 9 out of 10 Americans affiliate themselves with a religious group, less than 5% of Americans claim a faith outside of the Judeo-Christian faith. Interesting fact I read just recently. Nearly a quarter of those surveyed would describe God as distant and not active in the world. That's showing that we don't understand what Advent is trying to inform us. And if you don't understand or aren't informed, there's no transformation that's going to take place. Most see God as a cosmic force who sets the laws of nature in motion, not as the engaging, loving Father who came in person to seek and to save the lost in the world. And that has to change before transformation. And it begins with, again, personal, individual transformation. So our potential is there. The question is whether we're actually going to get in the fight. Will we be transformed? Will we be part of the transform who then transform our culture? Or will we be transformed by our culture? It's one or the other, isn't it? I love Stanley Harhaus, professor at Duke, outstanding Christian philosopher. He says, it's hard to remember that Jesus did not come to make us safe, but rather to make us disciples, citizens of God's new age, a kingdom of surprise. Number three. Advent, and that's God is coming aspect, forms a new world order. Christ's birth, his first advent, was the signal of something new. And his kingdom would replace the kingdom of this world. It's beginning, and we're supposed to be continuing that right now. That's our function here. As we're transformed, we transform the world. Christmas actually is the announcement of the kingdom of God breaking through a new world order, beginning. Let the world never forget who its creator is, for he is coming to claim his creation at a point in time, is he not? He's working to do that now, and hopefully through the people who are here, transforming them and transforming the world, but there will be a time that he comes in his power to set it right. To finalize it, to receive his kingdom. Furthermore, let's never forget that Jesus is king and he is returning to reign. So that we can confidently say with the writer of Revelation 11, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever. And that was going through my mind anyway. Which is beautiful. And it's true, and it will happen. It's something the created world has been looking forward to since the first day of creation. Paul explains it like this in Romans 8. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation's been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. And it's talking about that transformation that's going to not just transform us, not just transform the cultures around us, but transform the world and literally all of creation. Many Christians operate as though we live in two different realms. Yes, we do. One foot in the spiritual world, one foot in the material world. How's that going for you? In our thinking, one's eternal, the other's temporal, and that's very true. So where is your thinking? Where is your thinking most of the time? Because one is good, the other is actually evil. We're citizens of both. We have a sort of dual allegiance, a dual citizenship, kind of, but we live as though we are certain things that we have to do in order to get along in the real world. And yes, we do have dual citizenship, but what the Bible is telling us is surrender your earthly citizenship. Turn it in and work fully with your spiritual citizenship. The message of Christmas is that the kingdom of the world is becoming the kingdom of God. The kingdom of the world is becoming the kingdom of God. What's mortal is about to be swallowed up by the immortal, by eternal life. The message of Christmas is that the king is coming. In fact, he's already here, and he is operating on a bigger agenda than we are. And we've got to get back in touch. Arnold Palmer once played a series of exhibition matches in Saudi Arabia. This is actually in the early 80s. And the king was so impressed that he told Palmer that he wanted to give him a gift. But you know Arnie, he's quite humble. And he said, "That really isn't necessary, Your Highness. I'm honored that you just, you know, invited me and I was able to play with you. I mean, this is pretty incredible for me, you know." But the king insisted, "I'd be deeply upset if you'd not allow me to give you a gift." So Palmer thought for a minute and he finally said, "All right, how about a golf club? That'd be a beautiful memento for my visit to the country." And sure enough, the next day, he woke up, and there at his hotel door was the title to a golf club, thousands of acres, trees, lakes, beautiful clubhouse. And that's what God desires for us. We're not thinking to the scale that God is thinking, and we need to. We need to. That is the message of Advent. We need to understand God's plan more fully. And as we do, we will be amazed. We will be amazed that we're a part of that plan. We have such a small idea of what God wants to do with us, what God wants to do through us into the world. We've lost sight of the larger gift that God wants to give us. Let's focus back on it. Let's use Christmas and Advent to focus back on it. We just want him to forgive our sins and to solve our problems. But the Advent message is about a whole new world that is coming and that we are part of. And that is hope. That is peace. That is joy. Allow it to happen to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of year. We thank you that we can understand more and more of just what it means to us, Lord God. But help us even more to understand what it means to you. What this time of year just truly does declare, because it's at this time of year that we specifically can see it more and more. And the only way we're truly going to allow Advent or Christmas to last the entire year is if we understand the true message behind it. What your son in that stable was truly announcing. The kingdom of God is here. The transformation is taking place. Be a part of the transformation. Father, help us to truly understand that. To take time to truly understand that this Christmas, this Advent season. And thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. And we thank you that you still have yet to arrive in the fullest of maturity. Help us to be ready, we pray. In your son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.